But it's interesting. I think some of my message today is what we just experienced. But you know, God is for us. We can experience what we did this morning because God is for us. He's not against us. Amen? Our God is for us. And never doubt it. No matter where we stand or where we find ourselves, whatever circumstance, God is for us. And he is not against us. Amen? Hallelujah. Be gone, fly. You know, it's only one thing that matters. There's absolutely only one thing that matters. And you know what that one thing is? You guys are getting a faith expressing itself through love. Amen? And we just got a little touch of that this morning. But there's only one thing that counts. There's only one thing that has value. There's only one thing that has an eternal impact. And that is faith expressing itself through love. And just to remind you, our vision at Grand Valley Christian Center is to be a community of believers that exists to know him and to make him known. We want to be a big kind of community that brings people to life-changing encounters with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Encounters like we had this morning. A community where people experience the genuine love of Christ as expressed through you and me. How can it get any better when he crashes his love over us? Amen? A community where relationships are formed and love is expressed in practical ways. A community where people learn, grow, and are released to function in their gifts and callings. We saw that this morning as well. A community where people become active members, sharing and participating in our corporate calling and mission, and a community that reaches out to meet real needs in our city. Ultimately, a community that values people, modeling the culture of the kingdom. Amen? I think it's a community that could look like this. Listen to this. All the believers were in one heart and mind. Pretty awesome, eh? No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything they had. There was one little exception, though, their Mustangs, because Mustangs were exempt from that because God could only trust a few certain people with Mustangs. But it says so right here in my notes. I'm not making it up. Isn't God good? And with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. More and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Crowds gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by impure spirits. And listen to this, all of them were healed. You can read about that in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. But I was looking at that and I was studying, and I said, how did they get there? How did they get there? Because that's important for us, because that's how many want to be part of that kind of community. That's the kind of community God has called us to be, amen? And so this morning I want to look at Acts chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 23 to 33. And I think we'll see here another ingredient of a community in action that we can learn from. And so the title for my talk this morning is Pursuing Community, Praying Together. Something we just did. Amen? Pursuing Community, Praying Together. And I'm trusting that this morning we're going to get a fresh revelation of the power, both of praying, but of praying together. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're moving among us. I thank you that you're revealing Jesus to us in fresh and new ways. I thank you that you're pouring the love of Father in our heart. I thank you, Lord, that you're helping us understand what it is to have our faith in action, expressing itself in love as you pour your love into our hearts. And so, Father, I pray that you would continue by your Holy Spirit to give us revelation on this, the power that there is in praying together for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. So Acts chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 23 to 33. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all, somebody say all. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them. And I'm going to stop there. Earlier in Acts chapter 4, we find out that Peter and John had been arrested and put in prison for preaching in the name of Jesus, the resurrection of the dead. And then they took them and they appeared before the religious authorities and the high priests. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he begins to speak. And he begins to speak with irrefutable boldness. And he begins to proclaim, you know, after being thrown in prison, he's before these religious authorities. And I love this. He begins to proclaim that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the proof, I love this, the proof was in the fact that a man who had been crippled since birth was standing in front of them healed. There was nothing else the religious authorities could say. This man was healed. There's power in the name of Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. The apostles were then warned and they were threatened not to teach or speak the name of Jesus. And Peter responds and he says, judge for yourself whether it's right in God's eyes to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen or heard. Then after they were threatened some more, they were let go. And that brings us to where I'd like us to be today. So in Acts chapter 4, 23 to 33, they were released. And the first thing that happens on their release, and I love this, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported what happened. I never saw that before. He went back to their own people. And what struck me, you know, Peter, first of all, Peter and John didn't run and hide somewhere and discuss how badly they'd been treated. You know, they didn't reach for, I was watching a show and some people went through a bad thing. So the first thing they do, they come home, reach in the fridge and grab a drink, you know. Oh, it's been so bad. Peter and John didn't do that. They didn't find a drink to ease their problems. They didn't take something to calm their nerves. What I like, it says, they went back to their own people. They had a people. They had a people. Turn to your neighbor and say, they had a people. They had a community. They had a people they knew they could go to. You know, it really struck me. They had a people, they had a community they could go to. These seasoned men, these bold men of God filled with the Holy Spirit, the first thing they do upon release is they went to their people, a people they knew would care for them, a people who they knew would listen. We talked about that, remember? building meaningful connections, listen. And they went to people who they knew would listen, but not just listen, they would respond. They knew they were part of a supportive community. You know what? We all need a community where we can go to people who we know will care for us, to people who we know will listen, and to people who we know will respond. Turn to your neighbor and say, we have a people. Okay, that didn't, you know, some of you just kind of, huh? No. Turn to your neighbor and say, we have a people. Oh, that was better. That was good. Do you believe that this morning? We have a people. And my prayer is that Grand Valley Christian Center would be a place where people can run to because they know they will be cared and helped. They will know, we have a people, we have a community. Amen? Hallelujah. On their release, Peter and John went back to those who cared for them. But this community was so much more than just a supportive community. This is a very unique community. This was a community that had an unshakable faith in the sovereign power of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. What were we singing about him? What was that song? All the earth shall sound his name. Shout his name. What did they shout? What were they shouting? How great. How great is our God. Amen. Our God is great this morning. Amen. No. He's not a little God. He's not a small God. Oh, I might have to go to a different message here. He's a great God. Amen. He is a great and powerful, mighty, almighty, all-powerful God. Amen. Peter and John, they didn't just go to a community that was a support. It was a supportive community, but it was so much more than that. This community had an unshakable faith in the sovereign power of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. See, when Peter told the church what had happened, you know what? The people didn't get together and grab a bunch of signs and start a protest on the corner. Placards, let the disciples do what they need to do. You know, they didn't start a protest. They didn't grab a bunch of signs and start to protest. They also didn't hire some lawyers to launch a lawsuit. And they didn't send around with a sense of hopelessness, discussing how difficult it was to serve Jesus in such an antichrist culture. Rather, it says, when they heard this, they stood and they faced the challenge head on. And together, what did they do? They raised their voices in prayer. That's significant. They heard, they responded, they stood together, and they raised their voices in prayer. They prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed to a living Savior. They knew Jesus was alive, and they prayed with absolute faith and total confidence in him. How do I know that? Look how they begin. I love this. Sovereign Lord. Right there. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said. Sovereign Lord, you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. I love that. They begin, Sovereign Lord, you who made the heavens, the earth, and everything in them. And what they're saying, that in other words, they're saying, you alone are God. Amen? You alone are God. All things are in your hands. Our life is in your hands. Our destiny is in your hands. Our community is in your hands. Sovereign Lord, we trust you. Sovereign Lord, we trust you. Even our enemies are in your hands. That's a community that trusts the Lord. Even our enemies are in your hands. Because look how they continue. here in Jerusalem, Herod and Pontius Pilate got together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. They turned against your holy servant, your chosen Messiah. However, they did what you in your power and wisdom had already decided would happen. You are in full control, Lord. You know, there's a whole lot just about that one line that could be opened up. But ultimately what I want to say about that is they understood God was sovereign. He was the all-powerful one. He was in full control. Amen? You are in control of the beginning, you are in control of the end, and you are in control of everything in between. Sovereign Lord, we trust you. Even our enemies are under your authority. Did you ever stop to think about that? That your enemies, those things that oppose you, are ultimately under the authority of God. And when we are in the hands of a sovereign Lord, if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Doesn't mean that life doesn't have its problems. They were persecuted, absolutely. But they knew their hands were in the hands of a sovereign Lord. They are not focused on the problems, but on the power of God. I like that. They are not focused on their problem, but on God's power. You know what? When we do that, when we begin to focus on the truth that God is for us and not against us, when we focus on the fact that he is sovereign God, when we focus on the fact that he has the beginning from the end, that our life is in his hands, you know what? When we do that, it puts our problems in perspective and it reminds us that he can handle every problem and every situation that we face. Amen? Everything. Everything. And when we begin to pray together like that, something begins to happen. We begin to encourage faith in each other. You know, when I hear Barb declare, "Sovereign Lord," it stirs up my faith. When we sang together this morning, "And all the earth shall, how great is our God," it stirs up faith because it reminds me of who God is. And when I hear Barb begin to pray, "Sovereign Lord," it begins to do something in me. It begins to cause something to rise up in me. When I hear pray, Lord, when I hear Gene pray, "Lord, you are in control," I go, "Yeah." Maybe I was a little bit shaky, but Gene reminds me of what the truth of his word is. It goes, "God, you are in control." Barb is praying, "Sovereign Lord." Gene goes, "God, you are in control." Something begins to happen in me because I can come into agreement with you. Then I hear Rudy respond in prayer according to the truth of what God's word says. He always leads us into triumph. And you know what? My faith begins to soar. I'm hearing, "Sovereign Lord, you are in control. You always lead us into triumph." And if I was shaken a few minutes ago, when I'm in that environment, the truth of who God is begins to come alive in me once again. And we begin to build each other's faith. When we come together in prayer, we begin to encourage faith in each other. Amen? And faith begins to grow. When we stood here together, there was something that was beginning to happen by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Where two or three are agreed. You know, when we stand in unity, there's something about coming together. You know, when we pray together, when we hear others praying, it does something to my faith. And it begins to stir me up. And I go, "Yes, sovereign Lord." Next thing you know, the whole room is reverberating, just like it was with this community. They raised their voice together and said, "Sovereign Lord!" Hallelujah. 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 I checked a few other versions that said, "Great God, Mighty God." It's all the same thing. Sovereign Lord. When we pray together, we encourage faith together. So here they are. They're praying together.
And as they do, something begins to happen. Faith starts rising. And then the prayer starts to change a little bit. It goes, "Now, Lord," I love this, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." Consider their threats. See what's going on. Do you see what's going on, Lord? Consider their threats. And, you know, it's not a kind of prayer that kind of begs Jesus to act and is not sure if he will. "God, you see what's going on? You know, this isn't really, you know, it's not very good, and I wish you'd do something about it. Lord, please make them go away." You know, these kinds of, "We wish God would," we're not sure if he would, these kind of soft prayers is what I'm going to call them. I like what they say here. They go, "Now, Lord, sovereign Lord, now, Lord, consider their threats." In other words, we're not backing off here. We're not backing off. Just look what they pray last. "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable," I love this, "enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." That's a prayer, amen? They're not going, "Oh, no, it's hard to be in this culture. Oh, no, God, make our enemies go away." No, no, no. They say, "Sovereign Lord, consider their threats. And now, Lord, enable us, your servants, to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." You know what? That's the kind of prayer God loves to answer, amen? That is the kind of prayer that moves the hand of God, because that's the prayer of faith. "Now, Lord, look upon their threats." And can you imagine being in a room full of people that says, "Sovereign Lord, see what's going on. Consider the situation. We're not asking you to take away the situation. This is what we're asking, that you would grant to us the power and the courage to speak your word with boldness and to confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles as a testimony to the living Savior, Jesus Christ." Oh, man, I want to be in a room full of people that are praying like that. Amen? That's a prayer of confident faith. That's the kind of prayer that Jesus longs to answer. And then look what happens. Look what happens. The place where they were meeting was shaken. Wow. The place they were meeting was shaken. And then listen to this. And listen to this carefully. They were praying together. The place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they all spoke the word of God boldly. After they prayed, the place where their meeting was shaken, they were all, somebody say all again, filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. My goodness. Wow. That's amazing. Praying together causes faith to rise. But praying together also unleashes the power of God, transforming us from a natural community into a supernatural community. A community that is able to bring people to life-changing encounters with the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Praying together unleashes the power of God, enabling us to stand in the face of an antichrist culture, empowering us to be a community that is able to preach, teach, and demonstrate the culture of the kingdom of God. Amen? Praying together unleashes the power of God. Praying together encourages faith in one another. Praying together unleashes the power of God, transforming us from a natural community into a supernatural community. A community where people can encounter the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? A community that is able to preach, teach, and demonstrate the culture of the kingdom. After they prayed, look at the result. Look at the result of what happened as they prayed together. It continues. All believers were one in heart and mind. They shared, they took care of each other, and with great power they continued to testify to the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Much grace was upon them also, that there was not a needy person among them. And we continue in chapter 5, we see more and more people believed in Jesus. Crowds gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Praying together moves us into action together. They prayed together, and then they acted on their prayer, and needs were met. They acted together, and as a result, they were a community that was able to meet real needs. There was no need among them, and people were coming from everywhere with all kinds of needs, and the need was met. Hallelujah. Praying together moves them to action together. A community that is able to meet real needs. And a community that values people, modeling the culture of the kingdom. Praying together builds faith in each other. Praying together unleashes the power of God in us, enabling us to stand in the face of an antichrist culture, empowering us to be a community that is able to teach, preach, and demonstrate the good news of the kingdom and meet real needs. Amen? Hallelujah. In Acts 12, and I'm going to close with this, there's another story I just want to bring to your attention, because this, for me, I just love this. King Herod, he was actively persecuting the church. And he had James and the brother of John executed. And then he decides to see, and that made a lot of the people happy, so then he decides to seize Peter and put him in prison. And what happened? The church came together. The church gathered together, and it says they earnestly prayed to God. And I love that. They cried out. It was with earnestness, with faith and belief and urgency, with earnestly prayed to God for Peter, who was chained in prison. And what happened as they prayed together? An angel of the Lord was dispatched to go to Peter. The angel comes to Peter in prison and tells Peter to get dressed. And as Peter gets up, what happens? His chains fell off. Amen? And Peter was free. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, isn't there? When we pray, I don't know if you thought about this ever, but when we pray, angels are dispatched to minister. That's amazing, eh? When we pray, God sends ministering angels. And you know what? Chains are broken in the name of Jesus, and captives are set free. How many people might we know today that are in some kind of prison, chained by addiction or poverty or hopelessness? I don't know what their chain is. How many people do we know that are chained up in some prison? When we pray together, when we pray earnestly together, chains are broken in the name of Jesus, and captives are set free. Because our God is an awesome God who answers prayer. Amen? I'm not saying that we don't pray in our own individual space that we don't are not people of prayer, that when God, when I pray God, of course he does. But I want you to see this morning, as a community of believers, what happens when we pray together. The victory that takes place, amen? When we pray together. You know, Peter and John, they ran to their people. They had a people. And they began to pray together. When we pray together, we encourage faith together. Praying together unleashes the power of God, transforming us from a natural community to a supernatural community. Praying together moves us to action together. And then when we pray together, chains are broken and captives are set free. Amen? Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As a community, as we pursue community, let's capture this ingredient of community and the power of praying together. Amen? And I want to encourage you, if you can, come out. You know, right now, we have the opportunity on Wednesday evenings from 6:30 to 7:30, and I want to encourage you to come. Let's pray together. Let's pray to the sovereign Lord. Let's encourage each other's faith, and let's see chains broken, and let's see people set free. Let's see God confirm his word with signs, wonders, and miracles. Let's see God pour into us a fresh boldness of the Holy Ghost to proclaim his word and see this community transformed. Amen? You know, I struggled with this because I've had so many people say to me, you know, yes, we need to pray together, but then we need to do together. And I, when we pray together, it moves us to action. And I'm not, we need to do stuff together, right? Amen? We need to, as God, we pray for the needs of people. You know what? He's going to move in our hearts to meet the needs of people. In fact, in that community, some people who had access, they had homes and things that they could afford to sell, did. And they laid the money at the feet of the pastor of Grand Valley Christian Center. Because I'm an apostle of the Lord, and it said they laid it at the feet of the apostles. And then they were able to distribute where the need was. Imagine a community that did that. That was birthed in the place of prayer. Amen? And I want us to see this morning the power of prayer. You know, I sometimes think I get afraid that we've lost the power of prayer when we gather together as a praying community. You know, we do all, you know, I wasn't kidding about lawsuits and there's things in government, don't misunderstand me, there's things in government we need to do. You know, we need to engage society. But it has to come out of the place of prayer. These people were praying, and God moved. The church was praying, and the physical chains fell off of Peter. They were praying, and God moved people to meet needs. They were praying, and God confirmed his word with signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen? Prayer is not the last resort. Prayer is the first resort. Prayer is the foundation that makes everything happen, and it's only with prayer will we be able to transform fully into the community that God is calling us to be. Amen? Oh, I want to encourage us. Help me, Pastor Dunstan. Pray, pray, pray. And if you can't meet on Wednesday night, I know schedules are all over the place. Take some time and pray at home, knowing that you're joining with us. But let's pray together. Send your prayers to me via the internet, you know. We got to figure out something, how we can join ourselves together. Here's an action plan. How can we join ourselves together in prayer through technology today? But let's pray together. And if you can, let's join together on Wednesday night and see and pray to a sovereign God who loves us, who wants to transform us into that community, that supernatural community that will face this antichrist culture. It will be, it's a community where the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. Amen? It's a community that will face the anger, the culture of anger that exists in our world, and transform it by the power of God's love as he pours his love on us and out through us. Amen? Then people will come into a life-changing encounter with the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? But it comes out of the place of prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is what the Father has given us to release his power on the face of this earth. Amen? As we respond. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. And amen. Worship team, can you come back? Hallelujah.